couple of years back, I kind of jotted some notes about a sermon series that I would like to preach, and I dug up those notes, started thinking about it, and basically what I want to do with this series is talk about the gospel, because when we get to the birth of Christ, it's the beginning of the gospel. That's what many people think, but the gospel had been in process way back in the book of Genesis, and I want to take some time this morning and look at Abraham, and we're going to look at two particular scriptures. We're going to look at Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and then we're going to fast forward to Galatians 3, 6 through 8. So this series really will focus on the gospel and when it started, how it started, why it started. And I think the best person to look at first is Abraham. Now, when we talk about Genesis 12, 1 through 3, Abraham, and it's Abram, actually, Abram obeyed God, and we'll look at his call. Now, notice in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the call. Now, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. So here we have the call of Abram, who will later become Abraham. A little history about Abram's father. He was Terah. Terah, I'll show you the, I'm going to bring it up here. So here you have Terah, Nahor, and you have Abraham. He's their father. Terah was a pagan. He was a pagan, and by all mentions or thoughts, Abraham was brought up in a pagan home. And we do know that from Scripture, Joshua mentions him. In Joshua 24, we read this, and Joshua said to the people, I love Joshua, by the way, to the people, thus says the Lord of God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, and they served other gods. Terah did not serve the God of the Israelites. Now this brings up an interesting point. God called Abram out of that. Many people thank God for Christian mothers and fathers who raise their kids to follow Christ. But you know, you can come from a pagan family. I remember my friend Larry McCabe very well. He went to Annapolis when he graduated high school. Larry McCabe's parents did not go to church. And yet on Sundays, and I did not go to church. I only went to church Christmas and Easter when my mom took us. But I remember Larry McCabe riding his bicycle down the street to a church right down the road from us. And he would go every Sunday, even though his family did not go to church. Now think about this. Abram is in a pagan society. Scholars have debated what kind of gods Terah worshipped. I don't think it was Egyptian gods. That would be a far stretch when you see the map. It's near Iraq, so there would be a different influence in Terah's religion. But the point is, Abraham was raised in a pagan home that did not know God. And I find it amazing that God would call Abram out of the pagan religion. You would think he could pick somebody else that might better suit his plan for salvation and the gospel. Acts 7:2, Stephen's sermon, and he said, hear me, brethren and fathers, the God of glory appeared to our father Abram when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. And he said to him, leave your country and relatives and come to a land that I will show you. Then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. Now his father dies here. And from there, after his father died, God called him to move him to a country in which you are now living. So here you have the call of Abraham out of this pagan culture. They go to Haran, and they settle there for a while, and then his father dies, and then he calls him out. Now the map is interesting because you have two options here. You have Ur to the north and Ur to the south. You know, I grew up in Titusville, Florida. And one day I was typing in Titusville, Florida, and Titusville, Pennsylvania came up. So there's two Titusvilles, one in western Pennsylvania and one in Florida. Well, here, same situation, Ur and Ur. The traditional view is that Abraham traveled from here up through Haran, settled, and then went back down here and then came back and went back all the way to near Shechem. This journey right here, depending on your map and view and how you measure it, it's easily 1,000 miles, if not more, easily 1,000 miles. Abraham's call involved faith. Abraham's call involved faith. He says, Abram, get out of the land that you're living and come to a land that I will show you. And Abram, who at this point probably never heard of Yod-Heh-Vav, Yahweh, the God of the Israelites, and yet Abraham says, okay, I'm going to follow you. That is an act of faith. Now that becomes crucial in our understanding of the gospel. It becomes crucial in our understanding of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, we walk by faith, not by sight. Abraham exemplified that. Even in the Old Testament, when we think about God so far removed from where we are, and there's no possible way that the same faith exists today that we place in Christ. That's not true. Abraham exhibited a faith of trust in God. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. It is faith in what God says, and that when God says something, we do it. And that's exactly what Abraham did. I'll call him Abraham throughout now. But now he makes the call to Abram. And now we look at the promise. Actually, promises. And I will make you, this is God talking to Abram, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. A great nation, it's a large quantity of people. Bayrock, which is the word bless, which can refer to being to bow down, but more than likely here refers to material possessions or material prosperity. So God makes a promise. First of all, he'll be a great nation. What that really means is that he will have offspring. Okay, so when we think about Abraham and Sarah, let's remember this. When they had Isaac, it didn't look good. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. But God said, I'm going to bless you. You are going to be a great nation. There's going to be a multitude. That is, God is going to have a long line of genealogies that's going to come back to you. That was a miracle. I mean, you think about that. 100 years old. You may say, well, the 100 is the new 60. Well, even at 60, that's brutal. This is what makes the gospel so unique. Many of us think the gospel started in the New Testament. In some ways it did, but the gospel actually started in Genesis. And we kind of miss this as we think about the gospel message and how God unfolded the gospel message. He said that he would bless him materially, which he did. He would also make his name great. If you go, and I Googled this week, top 10 names of the Bible. Abraham came up number 3. His name is well known. If I ask you to name before this, if I had asked you to name the top 5, I bet you Abraham's name would have come up. And God says, I'm going to make your name great. And there's a reason that God did that. Remember, he's a Gentile, basically. He's from a pagan nation. And so he said, I'm going to make your name great. And there's going to be a future blessing. And Angie so wonderfully read that verse this morning from Micah. It points. The Old Testament points to Jesus. The Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. And God is orchestrating this great plan. Next week we'll look at Moses and how he fits in the gospel message. But today we're talking about Abraham and how God started with a call. Abraham believed God, and then God says, if you'll do this, this is going to be the results. You're going to be a great nation, which is, Genesis is preoccupied with a great nation. 27 times in Genesis, the great nation is mentioned. Material prosperity. His name would be great. There would be a future blessing. Dr. James Smith in his commentary writes this. This is sometimes called the seed or the great nation promise. The descendants of Abraham would be great in number and great in their importance to the plan of God. This is where the Israelites missed this idea of the Gentiles. For this reason, Abram's name would be great. No man has been so widely and permanently honored as Abram. You know Islam? They know Abram. And this man, Abraham, was such a central figure. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. Here's a secondary promise. So he gives him all this. You're going to be a great nation. I'm going to bless you. Your name's going to be great. There's going to be a future blessing down the road, even though Abraham himself will not see the blessing in full. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. Well, and in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. This word dishonors, when he says, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. It has 10 different meanings in the Old Testament. And this is a pael stem, which is part of those integral parts of this word dishonor. It means to invoke divine harm to an object, implying anger or great displeasure towards an object. In other words, those who come up against you, I'm going to curse. This popped up too as I was doing the study. I have this big program on my computer, Logos software. And when we think about this, I'm going to curse those that curse you. If King David, little boy, basically, shepherd boy. Everybody else was afraid to go out because of Goliath. So David comes up and he has a slingshot. And you got this, they say 9 feet tall or something like that, depending. It might be 7 to 9. He was tall. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And by the way, if you haven't seen the movie yet, it doesn't end well for Goliath. He's taken down by a slingshot. God made the promise and he kept it. Now there were times when Israel messed up and they got into trouble, but ultimately God preserved the nation of Israel. He kept that promise, even when the Israelites did not. So when we think about Abraham. And we're getting ready to get into Galatians here pretty shortly. Abraham came from a pagan culture. God called him out of that. When his father died, he went up, traveled about 1,100 miles over down near Shechem. And it required faith. It required faith. Now the question is, what kind of faith? What kind of faith was it? Well, first of all, it was faith that when he heard God, he did what he told him to do. He just went and left. So Abraham obeyed God, but secondly, and this is where we talk about the gospel, and is the father of our faith. Yes, the gospel is inaugurated by Jesus Christ, but I'm going to tell you the gospel was before this. And the scriptures bear that out. Notice Galatians 3, 6 through 8, that Abraham becomes the father of our faith. Notice verse 6. This is Paul writing to the church at Galatia, who was inundated with people who said, you have to come under the law of Moses in order to be a good Christian. Now, this is what Paul writes in Galatians 3, 6. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Believe. Abraham's faith, I'm going to read it to you, to believe in the extent of complete trust and reliance on, to have absolute faith in what God spoke. God said it. Abraham did it. Packing up, followed God, under God's direction, 1,100 or 1,200 miles or 1,000 miles, depending. And he follows God by blind faith, just by the voice of God. This word counted, logizomai, which means to keep a record of commercial accounts involving credits. So when Paul writes here that Abraham believed God and it was counted, he said that there was a deposit that took place in Abraham. It was a deposit. He had already promised Abraham a blessing. Multiple people would be part of your clan. He made all those promises. And now Paul says, look, Abraham was the starting point for the gospel. And it was counted to him. It was deposited to him as righteousness. Kenneth Woost, in his commentary, writes this, not commentary, word study. When we look at the word, Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. The word accounted is logizomai. The word is used in the papyri as a business term. For instance, put to one's account. Much like you go to the bank and you make a deposit. Something happened when Abraham believed God. God deposited something in Abraham, and that was the word righteousness. Now, you know what that word means. We've seen it before. The word righteousness means to be declared right before God. It means that we did what God required. So when Paul says, look, Abraham believed God and it was accredited to him as righteousness. What Paul was saying is that Abraham was righteous in the sight of God. Quite amazing. Quite amazing that God would call Abraham from a pagan culture. Now, in the Greek, it's written as a question mark, and it really is just to have people think about it. Hey, think about that. Think about that. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Think about that. The Jews, on the other hand, would not have been so happy. Now, from this righteousness, knowing that Abraham had been called by God, he followed him, he did everything that God required of him. And Abraham himself was not perfect. We all know that from the reading of the Old Testament. But it was still accredited him as righteousness. That sounds a lot like the New Testament to me. When you trust in Jesus Christ, when I trust in Jesus Christ, we're righteous. We have done what God requires by believing in Jesus Christ. And I'm getting ready to show you what God says about Abraham and the gospel. Now, from this righteousness, we're going to go back to the spiritual offspring that I mentioned earlier. Now, let's look at verses 7 and 8. Listen to Paul. He knew the law better than anybody. Who better than the Apostle Paul to tell the Jews, you need to get with the program? It's not about law, it is about Christ. It is not about works, it is about faith. Listen to what Paul says. Here's the big moment. Listen, here it is. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. Let me tell you this. Your faith in Jesus Christ, you are now of the lineage of Abraham. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. And from Genesis chapter 12 on, God is moving world events so that Jesus Christ could come on the stage and finish the plan that God started so many thousands of years ago. When you trust in Jesus Christ, you are a seed of Abraham. Maybe not physically, spiritually you are. And Abraham becomes the father of our faith. Paul explains this very clearly in Galatians all the way through. Galatians is a game changer. And you know who is seething at this moment? The Israelites, the Jews. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham, not literal descendants, spiritual descendants. First, this would have infuriated the Jewish people. After all, Gentiles were created by God to keep the fires of hell burning. You could see them angry. They didn't like that. But Paul told the Galatian Jews, God gave you the law to lead you to Christ whereby you could be saved. And you remember last Sunday, it was just a coincidence, last Sunday I talked about the promise to Abraham was 430 years before the law ever came into existence. Paul says in Galatians, the law was put in place to be their tutor, the Jewish tutor, so that they could see their need for a Savior and get saved. And a lot of people think about, well, the gospel starts in the New Testament. No. The gospel started in the Old Testament, all the way back. I think this is Romans 2. Yeah, I was right. Romans 2, 28 and 29. For no one is a Jew merely one outwardly, nor circumcision outwardly and physical. Paul told that in Romans 2 to the church at Rome. You're not a Jew outwardly just because you're born a Jew. But a Jew is one inwardly. And the Jews were fixated on circumcision, which God did tell them to circumcise. And the circumcision had a purpose, and that was a symbolic nature of removing sin. But they got fixated on it and said, you have to do this because God said it, which he did. But it was a temporary bandage on the real issue of sin. But a Jew is one inwardly. And a circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the spirit, not by the letter. Do you get that, Jewish people? Ones that are born Jews. It is not about that. It is about something that happens inside of us. It is not about religion, folks. Jesus Christ is not a religion. He is a relationship. And it's something that happens inward. The circumcision happens, the removal of sin inward, not outward. You can be a good person. You can come to church every Sunday. You can go to Sunday school. You can give money to the church and never knew Jesus Christ. Not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. In a sense, Paul was saying that when we trust God and Christ as our Savior, our heritage is traced back to Abraham. Isn't that good to know? Do you know Rahab the harlot? Do you remember her? Do you know Rahab is in the lineage of Jesus? Did you know that? God picks people that you wouldn't think would amount to anything and does something great with them. God is not an upper class God. You know who Jesus had more trouble with? The upper class. Those that had leprosy would, no, I'm not going to go to that. Jesus went to them. Brothers and sisters, we need to be about reaching average people. Oh yes, God can use wealthy people. The gospel starts in Genesis 12:1. Here's the kicker. You've heard it right here, right now. Listen to this. Verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, listen to this. Write it down. Preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham. That's where your lineage is. Your lineage and my lineage can trace all the way back to Abraham, the father of our faith. And scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Here's the key. In you shall all the nations be blessed. We have a heritage. You are a Jew inwardly. You have a lineage that goes all the way back to Father Abraham, who is the father of our faith. And this word justified, dikaio. I know we've seen this a lot. It's the act of clearing someone of a transgression, and it literally means to acquit, to set free, or to remove guilt. Yeah, somebody said one time, do you think Abraham's in heaven? Yeah. God, in that communication with Abraham, preached to him the gospel. Then it had to move forward. Abraham never saw it. God did some amazing things. Think about it, 100 years old, 90. That's amazing. That's an amazing story. How much more should we believe the gospel because of this? How much more should we be grounded? You think about Abraham and God talking to him and Sarah looking out. You would have thought that the Jewish people at the time of Christ would have known. This is the Messiah. But they didn't. They fought Jesus, and he eventually went to the cross to pay for your sin and mine. And the law came 430 years after this event. And this is the argument from the Jewish mindset. Well, the law came later, therefore it nullifies the promise made to Abraham. And Paul says, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. The promise to Abraham came first, and God's promise is not nullified. The purpose of the law was to keep the nation of Israel in check so that Christ would eventually become the perfect lamb under the Jewish sacrificial system. He became the lamb. When the law of Moses came, it did not nullify the Abrahamic covenant. And it was a covenant. And it started one day when God said, Abram, get out of your country to a land that I will show you. And I will bless you and make you a great nation. I will cause you to have material wealth. I will make your name great. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And you're going to be the father of many nations. And guess what? We are sons and daughters of Abraham. Of course, in Christ. Isn't that good news? That's good news. That's not bad news. So the conclusion would be this. We, being Gentiles, are not second-class citizens. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are children of God. We are descendants spiritually from Abraham. Our faith is anchored in the whole Testament. And I know people get into the Old Testament, had nothing to do with us. Now we're New Testament Christians. Oh, come on. We're all Testament Christians. Our faith is anchored. And when we, the day, think about this, the day that you trusted in Jesus Christ, the day that you trusted in Jesus Christ was, and you said, I believe you, God. That is the same faith that Abraham had. Quite amazing. A second thing I would note is that you are declared righteous by your faith in Christ. You have done what God requires. Of course, the goal then at the Christian life would be to live to follow Him and to love Him and obey His commands. And a third thing I would say would be this. If you don't know Jesus, settle it today.